Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This morning we are in Psalm 92. This is a well-known psalm to Israel. Did you know? I didn't know this. This psalm is sung every Sabbath morning, 52 times a year at the morning sacrifice every Sabbath. So it's very familiar. Psalm 92, 93, 94 all have periodic times when the whole nation prays them and sings them. But today we have 92, and it is a great... Hello, Jacob. Good to see you. This prayer, this psalm is actually entitled Praise to the Lord for His Love and Faithfulness. So we look at the notes, and let's just read the first and second verses together. Verse 1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Is that good or what? Are you doing that every morning? Do it next week and see what happens by next Saturday. And every night, thank Him for what He has done. So as we see this great psalm, it is really an unbelievable psalm, as it causes us to want to praise Him and give thanks to Him. I really think most of us give thanks way too little to the Lord. I think we're so wrapped up in ourselves, and you know, if things are going well, we say, "Oh yeah, this is a good day." If we're not going well, you know, this is not a good day. But we need to give thanks to Him. Look what He's done for us. Wow, we. Anyway, let's sing this Maranatha praise song here, if we may. Give thanks with a grateful heart. may be seated. So Psalm 92, as we already read, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, isn't it? And to sing praises to your name, O Most High. You know, I don't think I sing nearly enough to the Lord. I think that's very, very important and very necessary. I think we can really have our attitudes corrected by so many things, but singing to the Lord is one of them. Kind of hard to stay depressed if you're singing praises to the Lord. I think it's impossible unless you keep your mind all set on yourself. And what? To declare your loving kindness in the morning. Isn't the morning a good time? Isn't this good to be here this morning? I can guarantee you that you're going to be blessed more today because you came and if you didn't come. And I think others will be blessed through you today more than they would be if you hadn't been here this morning. Not just this morning, but to declare his loving kindness in the morning. We want to do that, don't we? And then your faithfulness every night. How many of you can think of a time when the Lord has been unfaithful to you? You never will. And now going on to praise in different ways on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp, with harmonious sounds. Now, I think that means all of us make a sweet sound to him, even if we have a different string, you know, because he hears us as a harmonious children of his. We all have different voices, don't we? And maybe they don't sound very good together, but to him, I know they're beautiful, harmonious. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your works. Now, does that fit you? How well does it fit you? You have made me glad through your work. Am I proclaiming his works and his wonders? As already we said, one of us said this morning, that what he's done to me, that he's done to you. That's your strong testimony, right? For the works that he's, wonderful works he's done in your life. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the work of your hands. Remember, as a believer, you're not fighting for victory. It's already been won. An unbeliever needs to fight for victory, but not you. You will triumph in the work of his hands, not in the work of your hands, in the work of his hands. Continuing on with the sovereignty of God, O Lord, how great are your works. Think about that verse. O Lord, how great are your works. I don't care what way you want to go. You want to go look at the eye, you want to look at the ear, you want to look at the hand, you want to look at any part of the human body. It is so unbelievable. And that's just one little aspect. Or look at a rose, look at cinnamon, look at spices. Why did God make spices? Because he loves us. Why did he make these beautiful colors? Because he loves us. His wonderful, wonderful works. Oh, Lord, how great are your wonderful works. And then your thoughts are very deep. How deep are the thoughts of God? Well, the psalmist says very deep. But you know, as a believer, we have special insight into that through faith that an unbeliever doesn't have. The unbeliever is just oblivious to that. You tell the unbeliever about his wonderful works and they'll kind of look at you, well, I don't know any wonderful works the Lord's done in my life, you know. But we have that insight into his very deep thoughts. As we look at his word, you know, we look at his word, 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 and every time we look at it, we learn something else, don't we? It's so deep. I mean, you can't get to the bottom of it. Now we're going to look at senseless man and fools. And anybody without the Lord really fits that definition in this sense. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. And I think it's backward and forward. He doesn't understand the deep things of God, and he doesn't understand what's happening when the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish. Can't you see that every day with these rich people getting richer? With these rich people having more control over the rest of us. And you think, how can that happen, Lord? I mean, you ought to shut that guy down. You ought to shut her up or whatever, you know? And they just keep flourishing, right? Well, remember this. There's another view to this. When all the iniquity, workers of iniquity flourish, it is why? It is that they may be destroyed forever. Think of that. That's what's ahead for them. So we pray for them, right? Because the eternal destruction is so bad. But at times I wish I had the money of this one. I wish I had the power of this one or whatever. No, we'll see. We'll get to that. And it's opposite of that. But think of grass. How grass looks really pretty, doesn't it? Looks really pretty now. I mean, the hills are all green. What's it going to look like in another 3 months or 6 months, 5 months, 4 months? It'll be all brown, won't it? Not beautiful anymore. Dead. That's what we see here. The workers of iniquity flourish, is that they may be destroyed forever. But I love it. But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord. Here's a double behold for emphasis. For behold your enemies, O Lord. For behold your enemies. So the psalmist is conscious of this, that the enemies seem to be getting all the perks, right? But he said, Lord, behold your enemies. Your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. Without the Lord, there's only one destination. But my horn, my power, you have exalted like a wild ox, Arioch. It's a very, also called the unicorn, a very vicious animal. It's not living anymore, but it's a great, big, huge, charging kind of a bull kind of a thing. And then the last part of verse 10, I really like, I have been anointed with fresh oil. What do you see in that verse? That they didn't see. The Holy Spirit. We've got the Holy Spirit. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in those days. It wasn't poured out until Pentecost, was it, on every believer? But that fresh oil is, I believe, fill me with your Spirit. And I hope all the Spirit you had yesterday was used up and you need a fresh filling today, right? So when somebody says, does my Spirit, can you lose it? Can you leak out of it? I say, I hope it pours out of me, right? It's supposed to pour out of us like a river, a torrent of running water, right? But I've been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears also hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. So we've got evil around us. No question about that. Always have had. And all of us say, oh, you don't know what it's like in these last days. This is so much worse than it's ever been. Yeah, it might be in some ways. But this is what, 2,600 years old? No, it's over than that, 3,000 years old. They had the wicked one then. Can you believe that? My ears have seen my desire on my enemies. My eyes have seen the desire on the wicked who rise up against me. Now, this is describing you and describing me. The righteous shall spring up, shall flourish, not like grass, which is here today and gone tomorrow, but this is like a palm tree. Do you know what the Arabs call the palm trees in the desert? They call them head in fire and feet in water. And I haven't been a lot of places in the desert areas of the world, but you'll see palm trees coming right up out of the sand. There's just nothing anywhere. But they have roots that go really deep down to the water. And so the top part of it's in 120 degrees or whatever it is, on fire, for example, but the bottom is down into the water. And so this is the flourishing palm tree. And then the other part of it, as an example here, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Man, how did they grow? They might have grown for 1,000 years. And did you know, I can't believe that, but I can hear it. I mean, I know it's true. In Venice, they put in these pilings of cedar into the water 1,000 years ago, and they're still there. They haven't rotted out. Is that something or what? So the cedars of Lebanon are something else. So we have the wicked like grass. It's really green now, looks great. In 3 months, it's going to be burned. But the righteous are flourishing like a palm tree, growing like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Now, I really believe that you here this morning are in the house of God in that regard. And you, because you're here, are going to flourish in the courts of the God of God. Now, where's that? That's outside. When you leave here today, you're going to be out in the world again. And I believe you will flourish. We have flourish used three times in these last three verses here, four verses, which means to really grow vigorously, green vigorously. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. And I love verse 14. Maybe a few others in here do too, because it's an old group. They shall still bear fruit in old age.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Now, all you young people can just kind of laugh at that, but you'll get there. Just wait. But listen to this. They shall still bear fruit in old age. Did you know that the palm trees, the older they get, the greater number of dates they have on their cluster? So you old people, not as old as I am, but anyway, you old people, your cluster should be getting bigger of grace and mercy and truth. And look at this. Even though they're old, they shall be fresh and flourishing. There's that word again. Green and vigorous. I don't know about you. I'm not so vigorous anymore. But be fresh. We can be fresh spiritually, can't we? We always grow spiritually. I don't care how old we get. I believe we always will grow spiritually. And the spiritual growth is much more important than the physical growth, because we're all going to die in these bodies. That's not the issue. But spiritually, they shall be fresh and flourishing. Why? To declare that the Lord is upright. Am I doing that? Am I declaring that the Lord is upright? He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Father, we get done with a psalm like this, we can just not help but have our minds fixed on you and see your glory and your majesty. And we do want to lift up our voices in song. We want to lift up our voices in praise. We want to lift up our voices in prayer, remembering to exalt you, to extol you. It's all about you, Lord. I pray that you would be the entire subject in every one of these gatherings, Lord. Yes, you've given us sensitivity to pray for others. That's good, and we want to do that. But it's all to bring you glory. It's all about you, Lord. We have nothing but praise and honor for you. So help us this morning to praise you, to honor you as we go to prayer now and pray as you would lead us by your Spirit in Jesus' name. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for the scriptures relating to that very subject where you said, "Come to me all, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And Lord, we know there are times, there are seasons where we just can't do that. But I pray those seasons would be very short as we would consider coming to you, standing on that promise that you have made, that you will give us rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn and learn and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That is your promise, Lord. We know you use trials and afflictions to draw us closer to you, and we don't like them. We'd much rather have problem-free lives, but then we would never grow. And you have promised to bring us to Christ's likeness, so you know what is needed to do that. We don't. And so as we cry out, "Ouch, I don't like that, Lord. What are you doing?" Help us to get beyond that and to recognize that you have only our best always. And you know the end from the beginning, and we don't. We see the pain now. We feel the uncertainty and how easy it is for us to throw away what we know for what we don't know, throw away for what we know for what we fear may happen. Oh, Lord, there's no place for fear in our hearts if we turn to you. And we do understand those who are going through some, we don't understand, but we can say, yeah, there's a person who went through so much they even took their own life, and the pain that was there we can't really fully understand. But for the most part, Lord, we see that we can be comforters. Help us not to be miserable comforters like Job was. Job's were, I should say. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And Lord, for those of us who go around so burdened down because we're so heavily loaded, it's not you, it's us. Yeah. Loading too much stuff on us, thinking of ourselves more important than we are. And maybe we get so concerned over a problem somebody is having. That's good, but help us to turn it to you. You can, the only one that can give, can rescue them. We can't. And so that's really hard for those close to us who are suffering and getting worse and worse day by day. And so we know you know all this. Well, Father, it's just good to come to you this morning and praise you. We just want to close in a song. And then maybe once again today, it seemed to go well last week, we'll see. But have the men gather together for a few minutes and the women, and we can even pray one for another, maybe in the areas of men for godly men and women for godly women. Not that we can't pray together, but we have been for a while here doing that. So let us close with this last song on your sheet here. It's entitled Praise Song. So I think you know it. Praise Song. And those of you who have good knees and good legs, let's stand for this song too. We praise you. Father, we praise you. We do worship you. And Lord, as you have said, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. So as we will shortly go our separate ways, Lord, we thank you for meeting us here this morning. And Lord, we do want to just lift up some petitions that some of us have on our hearts, one to another. And so guide a little more time in a couple of small groups here. In Jesus' name, amen.